Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana.
And you are listening to Riggle's Pick.
Yeah, and a ham horn. And we have a new podcast available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
Every Thursday, we're going to sit around and we're going to talk about the things that really excite us, like life, comedy, sports, a lot of sports.
Ourselves.
A lot of Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you join us.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house. Ace on the house. Ace on the house.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on. Welcome to Ace on the House, or as Pops Corolla calls it, Ace on the Roof, because it'd be respectful to get the name right.
Isn't that nice?
Have that happen. Eric Stromer over
there.
Ace Man over here. A little frustrated.
What happened? You walked in, you had a little bit of angst in your consciousness, it felt like.
Well, I had a 1-2 punch from yesterday evening to today, this morning. And I think Matt and the boys here will, I think they will attest to the fact that my wiring is not a wiring of spending or expenditures or capital going out or anything. It's only about waste.
Right.
I'll spend any amount on anything at any time as long as it's not, you know, I will pay you top dollar to take that stack of stuff over there and put it over there. But if I see you walking back and forth with the same stack, it drives me insane.
Right.
Immediately.
Right.
So the problem with that is you have to employ people and they don't always think like you think. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So first thing was yesterday, which is I, in the back of this shop, have a whole bunch of I have a sort of a grandma's attic up there. I built a second floor storage.
Right.
I got we got about 13 feet of ceiling height here, and I actually did a pretty damn good job of laying out this sort of patio in the back that you could walk under. Just for a guy 6'2", 6'3", it'll just miss your head, and then above it you have about 5 feet, and I end up storing a lot of car body parts there, fenders and molds and stuff. When you get race cars, you get a lot of extra front clips and rear clips and tails and fiberglass stuff.
Right. Now, do those fly off, or do you bump them and they why do you have to have so many? I don't get it.
They get damaged. Well, a couple things. So when they make these cars, when they make the body work for a lot of these cars, they have to make molds because the stuff doesn't exist.
I see.
It's supposed to be a 1988 300ZX Datsun,
So they're essentially,
when you look at the car, it's just molds.
So they're like one-offs for a chassis that's been designed as a race car that there's no other in existence. So you got to make them special, basically.
Yeah, they have to make the molds.
Got it.
And then when they make the molds for the fenders and the rear fenders and the doors, that thing molds for everything but the roof.
Right.
The roof is just sheet metal. They leave that alone.
Right.
And they leave like the taillights alone.
But
they don't need a mold for that. They're already just taillights. Right. I don't care. But all the stuff they need molds for. So I end up, when you buy one of these cars, you either get nothing, like just the car, or you get a semi-truck filled with molds and fenders and blocks and parts, and because these cars had a traveling circus. They had to show up with all these different molds, all these different parts. So what would happen is, the molds stay back at the shop. The front ends and the different clips and the fenders and stuff go to the race. And when somebody cracks it up during qualifying or something, they put it together in the paddock.
Gotcha.
All right. So these are the kind of things that you're probably never going to use, but you probably can't throw away, because these are the molds to Paul Newman's GT1 championship car from 1985.
Gotcha.
You're the only one who has them, and they're the only ones that exist.
Gotta have them somewhere.
So what ends up happening is the stuff gets stored in the back, and eventually, of course, it becomes kind of a clusterfuck, and doors for cars that I've sold 2 years ago are still up there, and we can't find stuff, and we end up looking and thrashing through stuff, and someone wants to know where the fuel cell is, and blah, blah, blah. So at some point, I announce... No, we should make the same announcement, which is take everything down. If it goes to a car that we don't own anymore, I don't know why I have to speak in a super sing-songy slow voice to people's average age is 47 and 9 months. But if we don't own the car, if we don't own the car, we shouldn't put it back up. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So if we don't own the car, meaning we did own the car, but then we sold the car.
Right.
And the parts are for that car or one of those cars. I don't want to get trapped, because you'll go, you said for the BMW. And I go, no, I meant any car that we had. No, you said the BMW. I said like the BMW. Okay, sorry. It was my fault. Any car that we have owned, but we currently do not own, take those parts and do not put them back up into the general population.
Right.
Other than that, separate all the parts. You got the 85 GT1 car. You got the Le Mans 935 Porsche. Get the parts separated. Label the parts like, hey, this is for this car and that's for that car. Give them their own space. Take a look at stuff. If it's trash, get rid of it. And then we put it back up. Orderly. Okay? All right. Now, what happens to that process is at some point it all comes down, and then somewhere between 7 and 19 weeks down the road, I go into Rob, and I go, Rob, why is all the junk just still sitting on the floor? And then he goes, you said you wanted a new hasp on the gate. And then I go, yeah, I did say that, but also that takes a half a day. But I also want you to finish the job that we're doing. It's all on the floor now.
I saw some fenders out there.
A lot of fenders out there.
Yeah,
so I said, I want to get it finished. I want to get back up. And he's like, you said you wanted me to clean my office. And I go, yeah. But that's all stuff that's after this. This, take care of this and then do whatever you want to do. All right. So Gary and Rob have another run at it. Not half-tard Gary, full-tard Gary at the other shop. And at some point... yesterday evening,
I fear something bad's happened.
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's
okay.
Just wasteful. At some point, I walk into the shop.
Yeah. This is the other building.
Where they're working on the cars.
Gotcha.
And I see all of these pristine molds, maybe 10, spread out all over the floor in the middle of the shop where people are tripping over them. And I say, what are these doing here? And the answer to that is Gary took the molds back here. And I said, why? And he said, they said, because you have other molds here. And I said, yeah, we have crappy busted up molds that are like in the back around the side.
But right.
These are really nice molds. And then Sean, the brains of the operation, told Gary, we're not going to take those bitchin' molds and put them outside where they'll just be destroyed by right. the weather. Take those molds and bring them back to this shop
gotcha.
And put them up top. Now, I never had any discussion of like, take the stuff down, take all the molds to the other shop and put the fenders back. I just said, all the stuff we're using, all the stuff we're keeping, organize it and put it back up. In which case, I said to Rob, what are these molds doing here? And he said, I don't know. Gary brought them back. And then I said, but did I tell you to, in all the discussion we had, did I say, take a bunch of stuff back to this shop? No. All right. Well, these are nice. They need to go back and they need to go up. And he said, yeah, I agree with that. And then I said, and by the way, why are they in the middle of the floor? And he said, Nate, the guy you make the movies with, his guy Brian unloaded them. And I said, why is that? And he said, we brought the molds over 2 days ago. The brains of the operation, Sean said, those are too nice. We're not storing those outside and we have no room for them here. Bring them back, put them back where they came from, and put them up top. So we loaded up the van with the molds. We did not bring them back. We just loaded up the van. Then the following day, Nate needed to use the van for production, so he unloaded the van. They put their C-stands in, and they took off in the van, and now the molds are back on the thing. And the answer they always give me is, well, when we get the van back, we'll just load it back up and we'll just take it back. Like, I don't know how much this cost me of moving these molds all over the place. The fucking fact that they loaded the van and then the guy.
Yeah.
That shop has nothing but pickup trucks. Nothing but pickup trucks. Like, you could have just set it in the back of any nine pickup trucks and just drove it up the block and just unloaded, but they put it in the van. And then whoever was borrowing the van didn't go, hey, what's all this shit in the van? Well, Rob could have drove it over here and unloaded it in 7 minutes and drove it back to Brian, but Brian just unloaded it. And of course, Brian dumped it all. I'm paying everyone by the hour, by the way. Brian dumped it in the middle of the shop, and now we're bringing it back. So, waste, waste, waste. But this morning.
Uh-oh.
This one's on me. It's on me. It's on me because I only thought things, but I didn't say things.
You're doing nose breathing internal. It's coming in. You're about to go off.
It's on me. It's on me.
I can see it.
It's on me. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John. I'll put myself in a better mood. Okay. No time like the present time to upgrade your old uncomfortable underwear to Tommy John. Mind-blowing comfort, man. Underwear never rides up. Waistband never rolls down. No more picking wedgies out of the rearranging the goods down there. The shirts stay tucked in. Wearing one right now. Socks never slide down. Second skin tees, so soft you won't believe it. Everything they do is just top shelf, man. Make room in the underwear drawer, man. This stuff is awesome. It's all backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Everyone here wears Tommy John. That's it. A lot of companies send a lot of stuff our way, and sometimes people use it, and sometimes they don't. Across the board, 100% Tommy John. Tommy John, no adjustment needed. Matt?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
So what happened this morning is, I think it's on me. But okay. It'd be nice if people thought about things. So the other shop is Festoon. With trailers and trucks and cars and carcasses.
More utilitarian, this one.
Well, in the back.
You would say this shop here is more of the refined, high-end stuff for the Paul Newman cars.
This is the studio. This is the broadcast studio, yeah. I would say. The other shop is movie making in the front.
Yeah. You got editing bays and stuff there, right? Yeah.
Offices and edit bays.
Yeah.
In the middle, kind of car museum-y. And in the back, that's where the work's getting done. That's where the race cars are getting put back together and so on and so forth. So, the reason for my mood. I have a couple of Newman cars back there that are half put together that the guys, I got a couple full-time mechanics, and they're just working on these cars, right?
Mm.
I had this idea at some point a few months back. I thought, you know, one of these days we should do a real build on a real car. Not, I shouldn't say real. Not restore an old race car, which is basically all we do, but get ourselves a car and do a SEMA car. Do like a real custom job on a car, the likes of which no one has seen before. So I had,
you mean even engineering from the ground up?
You get a car, you get a carcass of a car,
and then
you pick your platform, and then you completely make it your own.
I got you.
And it becomes bespoke, you know, one that no one's ever seen before. So I have a couple of engines, race engines from Z cars, and I think, what if I did a 280ZX and blah, blah, blah. And I sort of tell the guys, you know, one day we're going to get a old Z car and we're going to do ourselves a job. But in the meantime, you guys got to finish all these race cars we're working on here because those are the valuable cars.
Right.
And I get the news yesterday that there's some kid, he's got a Z car, it's a 280ZX. And seems straight and rust free, and he wants $1,000 for it,
which is unbelievable, right?
It's a good price.
Yeah.
So I go, okay, that'll be a good donor. That'll be a good carcass for the platform for us to jump off on.
Right.
And they don't come around that often. So I said, yeah, go get it. And then I had this thought. Now, as I was coming over here to do my six podcast day yesterday, I saw my truck and the trailer, an enclosed trailer. It's called an AeroVault.
Right.
Pete Brock, he's a designer. He invented an aerodynamic trailer. It's very bitchin' looking and it's very enclosed. And it's like sort of having, it's even more so than a trailer. It's just like having a custom car container behind you.
Right.
And they were pulling in. And I remember thinking to myself, we have no room for this car, this $1,000 car here right now. The floor and all the space is being taken up rebuilding all the other cars. And this is a project that we're going to get to in 6 months or something. But I should tell those guys, just leave the car in this trailer we never use. It's like a storage unit that we have parked there anyway. And we don't use the trailer very often.
Right.
And I don't want this car in the way. I don't want to be pushing it around. I don't want to be anything with this car. And we're not going to work on it for a year. So just leave it in there. And that was my very distinct thought. And my other thought is, I bet they'll do that. Or I bet they'll just leave it in there until I show up the following morning and ask me what I want to do with it or whatever. And then I called Matt and started complaining about something else. And completely whiffed on it, or my phone dropped off, or whatever it does when I walk back and forth. I had it in my mind. Like, I kept thinking, like, should I call those guys and tell them not to do it, or should I tell Matt just to send an email to Rob, telling him, like, do not touch the car. Leave the car in the trailer. I don't want to take the car out of the trailer. Leave it. It won't take up any space. It'll be in the trailer, and we won't have to deal with it. And I completely whiffed. And when I got there at 9:30 this morning, the trailer was back in its spot, and the Z car was just parked right in the middle of the rolling door in the parking lot, just as a presentation, like, here you go.
Right, right.
And I don't fault them, but all I'm going to tell them is, dig the trailer back out, drop the flap, load it up, and load it right back into the trailer and back it right back where it is. It'll take 2 hours. But I have no idea what to do with this car other than say, get rid now, put it back in the trailer and put it back over there. There's no place to put it. I don't want to keep it outside. It'll rust out. There's no room in the shop for it. And we're not working on it. We only have the car because somebody went, hey, boss. And I went, what? And he went, there's this guy selling a car for $1,000. I went, oh, go get it. But it's not like I went to him and go, now we're starting. This is the part of life that people have trouble with, which is, I never said we're starting on this car. You came to me and said, I found a car.
Right.
I got a friend. he said this, and I went, oh, fine, go get it. So now I'm going to have to go back to the other shop, and they're going to go, what do you think of the car? And I'm going to go, it's a piece of shit $1,000 car.
Put it back in the trailer.
Now put it back in the trailer and park it back against the thing. And then they'll say this, you want to put it back in the trailer? I go, yeah, I do. And they'll go, yeah, we can do that. And then I'll go, I know, but like next time, just leave it in the trailer until I show up the next morning and go, what do you want? I'm not going to start screaming at someone like, where's my $1,000 car?
Right, right, right.
Or why isn't it taken apart yet or anything?
Right.
So now we're going to put
So basically,
all they have to do is take the trailer, hook it up to a truck, pull it out, pack it up, load that thing, push the car into it, and then undo it, and then put the trailer back where it was, and then undo the truck.
Now, that's okay, so let me ask you a question.
Except for it was in the exact same spot yesterday afternoon. And I don't even think of a world where people, like, I don't know. I tell these guys, like, all the time, where they'll go, you know, Matt, number one answer. I didn't know what you wanted to do with the car. Okay. Very well. I will accept your premise. Then leave the fucking car in the trailer. Or, here's a crazy idea. Call me and say, what would you like me to do with the car? It's the weirdest thing in the world where they go, I didn't know what you wanted me to do with, and then they went and did something with it. Like, it's like saying, I didn't know what side of the coin you bet on, so I flipped it.
Right.
It's like, if you don't know what side I'm betting on or I'm counting on, then how about don't flip the coin?
Right.
That's the, you must experience like, that sounds, all the time. I didn't know what color grout you wanted to go with, so I went with purple.
It sounds like you're in dire need of middle management. Maybe.
I don't. The problem with the guys at the other shop is I can say to Rob, Rob, don't let these. I told him not to. There'll be like a lot of that.
Right.
You know, it's a
right.
weird. It's a weird blue collar thing when guys try to throw other guys under the bus all the time.
That's right.
I told him not to do it, but he said I'm doing it anyway.
Right.
And then you go talk to the guy, and the guy goes, he never said anything. And then you don't know, like, what?
Right.
Who's somebody's
right.
lying?
Right.
I don't know.
And I had this. I had a similar experience where, you know, you probably remember this from contracting, but obviously with your business dealings today, you think of all these things while you're in transit, driving to your job or walking to the studio. You don't say them, or like I'm in Malibu Canyon, I can't get through on the phone to say to the guy, please don't put the door against the wall because there's a $3,000 mirror that's just been installed. And if it
guess
what happened?
Right.
It slow motion fell over. I bought the mirror for $3,000. So funny.
My favorite part of doing this for a living is when I was building my house, I would call Gary Fultard every night when I was driving into Loveline at 9:40. And I would talk him through the next morning. Because I worked Loveline until midnight. I'd get home at 12:30. I'd go to bed at 1:30 or 2. That was my shift,
sure.
You know? And I'd get up at 9, and I'd get over to the job by 10. But they'd been there by 8, you know?
Right.
So I'd always kind of walk them through the first couple hours. Like, tell this, tell that, tell this, tell that. And one of my favorites is Ozzy, my guy who hates to work and always likes to go on, he'll go on a material run and be back like 4 days later.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'll go like, what? I sent you Home Depot to get one piece of half inch rod. They're taking a ticket of 5/8. Taking a 5/8. And I'll go, yeah, but they didn't. No, they don't have the half inch. And I'll go, right. And he just, whatever it is. You send him on a lunch run, you send him a material run, he'll come back five hours later.
He's in Barstow.
Right. He just comes back 5 hours later and he goes, and you're like, what? I don't get it. I sent you to Cal Wall to get two sheets of drywall. Take it inside. You know, it's like, all right. And you just realize that you can't. So.
Right.
I say to Gary, hey, Gary, Ozzy is going to want to go to the warehouse. He's going to want to come here to do something, to like pick something up or something. Don't let him do it. Tell him to wait, work with you, stay at the job, wait. I'll show up at 10 in the morning. I'll tell him what to do with the warehouse, okay? But don't let him go. Okay. Now it's 5 minutes to 10 in the evening.
Right.
I got to go, Gary. I got to go to work. Hang up the phone. Following day, show up at 10 o'clock. Where's Ozzy? He's at the warehouse. Why is he at the warehouse? He said you told him to go.
Yeah.
I know, but then I talked to you at 10 o'clock at night, and I said, don't let him go. Well, he said you told him to go. Did you ask him when I told him to go?
Yeah.
You think I took a break
December
at Love Line
of last year?
I called him at 11 o'clock at night and said, "Wake up, Ozzy."
Right.
And he's go, "I talked to you at 10 o'clock last night." I said, "Tell him not to go,
right,
Gary."
Right.
"Yeah, I don't know." He said, "You said to go."
Right.
"I may have said to go 2 days earlier, but now I talked to you last night." He said, "You said." It's a scary, scary world out there, right?
It is. So is it that
people... But here's all you have to do.
Do you want people to think like you, or do you want
I want them to follow a path that has some logic into it, which is Ozzy. Ozzy says, take it to warehouse at 8 a.m.
Right.
Adam say, take it to warehouse. Gary, well, I spoke to Adam last night at 10 o'clock at night, and he said, "Tell you, don't go to the warehouse." Adam say, take it to warehouse. "Well, hold on, Ozzy," says Gary. "What time did you talk to Adam? Because I spoke to him at 10. So if you talk to him before that, you stay here. If you say he sent you a text at 10:30 last night, then you get to go to the warehouse. When did you talk to him? And then we could solve this problem." But we never go down that path. It's a weird logic thing that people don't seem to enjoy. All right, do we have a call up there? It dropped off. Oh, because Stromer's talking my ear off.
Yeah, I keep
Stromer just
going on and on and on.
We do have video questions though.
Let's do a video question. This guy, so fear not. By the way, I'll tell everyone. I looked up at the screen a half hour ago. He had a 12-year-old house where none of the doors stayed in place. I will just tell this to people about doors. Before you get that planer out or that belt sander out or whatever you're going to go at it with, you know what I'd say? I'm going to liken it, Stromer, to everyone I know who's had back surgery and it never worked. They just got strung out on Vicodin. Before you go under the knife for that back surgery, like before you get that planer out, do all the yoga, do all the stretching,
right,
do all the Pilates, do all the whatever you can do. And then if it's still bad, then you have to do it. But
right,
do not cut into that back and don't cut into that door.
That's a good point. Hinges,
move those hinges around. You shim those hinges.
Right.
You tighten up those hinges. You do many different things, but you do not cut into that patient until it's absolutely necessary.
That's a very good piece of advice. 100%.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have video question?
Oh, yeah. You know we do. It's from a guy named Mike. And if you haven't done it before, send us your video questions. Email us, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. Go to Ace on the Roof to see the videos. And here's the one from Mike.
Hey, Ace, Ray, Drummer.
We're looking at a fireplace.
Hanging out in the basement with my daughter here. And thought to take a quick video. Got a basement room with some really crap track lighting.
Track home, but not track lighting.
Would
just
love
the bad Home Depot stuff.
Your thoughts on it. This is kind of the room. Got more of that crappy track lighting over there. Here's our little entertainment area.
Mm-hmm.
Scrolling back. This is our windows.
I like seeing how other people
two
live.
From our daylight basement and... Just mm-hmm. love your thoughts. I'm thinking some sort of LED cans or something like that, but wondering if you had any different ideas.
Cans.
Thanks.
Okay.
Mike in Fort Wayne.
By the way, his voice is so deep, it actually hurt me to listen to it.
He should be working with some sort of smooth jazz.
Yeah,
station.
Right?
KJ. The Quiet Storm.
Yeah. Yeah. Those were gold fixtures, which must die. Period.
It must die.
They must die.
They're real gold, in
right,
which case they should be melted down and made into teeth for black people. Stromer sent me a note. I don't know why he didn't say it himself. Now, you should do your own material, but I'm happy to do it for you. All right. Oh, hold on.
Where in God's name did that... What ball of hell did that just emerge from?
Just on a post-it, you just slid me. Oh, wait, it says over. Oh, do not say it's for me. Sorry. I screwed that up. I didn't see. I just read the joke. All right, hold on. Robert is back on the line. He has a finish, varnish a cabinet thing. So hold on a second. Let's Let's tease our provocative video question, our lighting video question,
yes.
And let's talk to real-life Robert, 35, from Los Angeles, and we'll get back to lighting, because I have thoughts.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Robert.
Robert, how are you guys doing? I'm sorry, Adam, how are you doing?
Yeah, fine. How are you doing?
Mm-hmm. doing well. Well, it's my mother's birthday today. Nice. Thought I would refinish her cabinets, which are just like this horrible early 90s, just kind of like clear varnish. I'm thinking I'm going to paint them maybe like a white or perhaps like some sort of gray color. But what's the best way to strip it without having to sand it down?
That's interesting. Gary may be able to find it. I had some hot furniture strip and repaint conversation with my mom the last time I saw her. It was scintillating talk about having somebody's husband paint something in her bedroom that was worth $18.
Hey,
you know, painted through and through now, right? I mean, it's not. Is it, they say paint grade or stain grade. Is it stained now or is it painted now?
I think it's stained. I don't think it's painted.
But does it have like an oily feel to it, or is it dry to the touch when you put your hand on it?
Well, it's oily because of how old it is. But no, as I go higher, I think it does feel kind of oily. I think if I try to paint over it, it'd be kind of tough. Without doing anything.
By the way, this is going to be a birthday week for your mom, because this is going to take some time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you understand that.
All right, so first things first, I would break it down. You know, if they're drawers, pull the drawers out. If they're doors, take the doors off. Take the hinges off. You know, take the knobs off. You know, if it'll come off, take it off, right?
Yes, sir. Okay.
And then the second part, you know, normally with painting, you want to scuff and then you want to clean, you know. And it's kind of hard to tell what the existing thing is. I wouldn't want to say get out an orbital sander and bring it down to the bare wood. That's just way, way too much hassle. The paint job will last, you know, she's probably got, what, 6 good years left in her? It's going to outlive her.
You know what? Let's hope so. You know.
Yeah. All right. So here's my thing. It doesn't need to last forever. So I feel like scuffing, and you can scuff with like steel wool, just a rough grade steel wool to really just get it. Just get the steel wool in there and do it real good. Then do we want to use? Is it worth a lacquer thinner or denatured alcohol or something or a trisodium phosphate?
I think it's a TSP first, let it dry, then get into your scuffing and scraping. Get all the grime and grease from the kitchen and the frying and the bacon and all the...
Oh, I'm sorry. This is a kitchen cabinet.
I would do that first.
Kitchen cabinet.
Oh, sorry.
I would also, to Adam's point, when you take stuff apart, label with blue masking tape and write a correlating number to the cabinet that you're taking the drawer out of.
They have Ziploc bags that have little places. Okay. Remember your PE shirt? My PE shirt had a little hot dog in the front of it, and I could write my name on it, although we couldn't afford one, so I'd go out there with like Mendoza on the front of my thing, and I'd be like, who's Mendoza? I'd be like, he's my locker partner, and he's sick today.
Yeah.
So I got his shirt. So
I remember those.
Yeah, they have little baggies with that on it, and you could do that way. So if it's in the kitchen, I agree with Stromer, TSP, trisodium phosphate, clean it real good, then scuff it, then cheesecloth it, and then prime it, and then paint it.
Prime it and paint it. And either spray
or
either,
cheese it or tack cloth
either
it.
Either create a spray booth somewhere with plastics or cardboard so you can spray it in the kitchen itself where you're not overspraying onto the walls. Or roll primer on, brush it out, let it dry, and then give it a light sand, and then do the finish coats of paint over that. It's going to take you a full 5 to 6 days of work.
Stromer, you're going to be privy to some hot cabinet talk.
Yes!
I had with my mom just 2 weeks ago. Now,
you're talking about the lovely Mrs. Carolla.
These are, sort of. I don't know, she remarried or something, but... Now, we have our choice when we get together. You know, we get together probably four or five times a year.
Yeah, you do.
We have our choice.
Yeah.
We could talk about the kids, the grandkids.
The other ones that aren't there.
The grandkids.
Yeah.
We could talk about my next documentary I'm finishing, or maybe one of the multi-million-dollar Newman cars, or maybe we talk about Jimmy hosting the Oscars and me riding on it this year. Talk about the myriad of things.
Sure.
Or we could focus on the priorities, which is cheap furniture that's been left behind by a dead parent and how she had plans of repainting it. So it's emblematic, as they
call
it.
That's
right. This is not...
Clearly, you're in fifth position on all of this.
This is not... We didn't have a spirited conversation about the Trans Am event at Willow Springs and then do 20 minutes on Kimmel and how it's unbelievable that he's ascended to this such high, lofty...
She could give
perch.
A rat's ass about
it.
We
did not discuss any of those things. Yeah. This was basically the conversations we have. Sometimes we talk about scones.
Of course you do. Who doesn't?
You know me, Matt. I've always got a scone in my hand. If I don't have one in my hand, it's on my mind, right?
When you walk into the building, it's the scone zone. We all
It is. Scone zone.
Scone zone in the building, right? Yeah, slow for the scone zone. Yeah, that's what I tell everybody. And it's just generally baked goods, right? That's me. That's my vibe. I'm constantly talking about baked goods.
I think Eric senses that. He's only been here a few weeks, so he knows it.
Yeah, mind on his scone, scones on his mind.
That's right. That's right. All right, I'll tell you first about Simply Safe, and then we'll play this scintillating snippet. I've worked with them since they had 10 employees. Now they're protecting over 2 million people. Exciting news. They just released their brand-new home security system, the all-new Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. Smaller, faster, stronger than ever before, completely rebuilt and redesigned with new safeguards against power outages, downed Wi-Fi, cut landlines, hammers, bats, you name it. It'll take whatever the bad guys can throw at it. It's the first security system I actually called beautiful. I got the updated system. It is sleek. It is beautiful. It is aerodynamic. No drilling, no pulling wires, no felon crawling around in your underpinning and then into your daughter's panty drawer. No, 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 no. You still get 24/7 protection, just $15 a month, and no long-term contracts, but supplies are limited. Visit simplysafe.com/Adam, SIMPLISafe.com/Adam. All right, hot furniture talk with the Ace Man.
Coming in hot.
How's the house doing? Said you were doing some work then?
Yeah, actually, the furniture in in Helen and Lonzie's room was, if you remember, is kind of a dull grayish color.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty old. Hasn't been painted in a long time.
You're not allowed to buy new furniture for your Corolla. It's like, hold on, stop it for a second. It's a funny insight because, like, it's pretty old. It hasn't been painted in a long time. Like, you're not supposed to paint furniture. You're supposed to get furniture. It hasn't been painted in a long time, which means it's been painted multiple times.
Who are the other two people's rooms? Lotzi? Who's Lotzi?
Those two adults that she called by their first name also go by the title of her parents.
Okay, I got you. Yeah.
Now, it's weird that she calls them by their first name, but I would argue weirder that she's moving into the room at 84. Yeah? You guys see the heritage success and the white privilege I come from, right? Like,
yeah.
Crawl inside my brain when some asswipe comes on my show and starts wagging his finger at me and talking about my white privilege. My mom is living in her mom's bedroom. There's one bathroom in that house, and it's attached to that bedroom. So if you would like to use the bathroom, you must walk through Helen and Lotzi's.
Helen and Lotzi.
Helen and Lotzi's bedroom is now... My mom's been waiting her entire life for her mom to die so she could move into her bedroom. We should all hope that our kids have such a grand aspiration, right?
Such high esteem.
I will live in this piece of shit in the valley that you own, that Helen Lotzi owns.
Can't wait for you to die.
And then one day you shall die. I will sell this house. Yeah. It will be bulldozed.
Yeah.
And then I can move into your piece of shit up the street.
Maybe even fornicate in that room.
Oh, no. 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 Not with the ghost of Pappy. All right. So more hot furniture.
Yeah, it is.
Cleaning lady's son-in-law is a painter, and so he painted chest of drawers last week, and then he's going to paint the two end tables this week.
So we have hot paint talk with the Corollas too.
Yeah, you do.
And Matt knows me. Knows I'm pretty laid back. I don't want to talk about the Academy Awards or cars or anything. I want to talk about painting furniture.
Dead people's furniture.
Worth less than $20. Why talk about multi-million dollar race cars when you talk about furniture that's worth less than $20?
Lotsy put a cigarette out on top of that dresser once.
It needs to be repainted. Repainted.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to do it? Is anyone going to paint this?
Yeah. I sort of stepped on the part where her helper lady is married to a guy
that can do
who does painting.
Okay.
And so he's going to come over and paint.
Great.
Now, did you contract this fine service?
No. My new move is I kind of steer clear of the whole mess. There's no upside. Zero upside.
Was she aware? Did you pre-warn her that you would be recording that conversation?
I did not have that conversation with her.
You're running a sting operation on your poor mother.
I just had to capture it because I realized I don't think anyone really believes.
Yeah.
I think people think I'm exaggerating when I talk about her bummer toot or like what a just flat line every conversation is about. Matt, Gary, you've heard me talk about these scintillating zero conversations about nothing all the time and about how my mom completely flatlines if I bring up like racing or the Oscars or Kimmel or
like
anything that's going on.
She
stops talking.
Right.
But I don't think I did it. It's full measure of justice, right? Like she stops. I didn't even really notice that she literally stops talking when you bring up, like you're in the middle of having a conversation and you start talking about a race car and she just goes,
yeah,
I wish she made a noise. It's just I think maybe you guys thought I had a little hyperbole mixed in, but there is no hyperbole, right?
The audio is a nice reminder.
Yeah,
because even experiencing it, you go a couple years and it modifies in your brain.
Later that day, I'm still not sure. Like I would say to Lynette, who would be in the next room or something, I go, I think like I start talking about the Oscars and Kimmel, I think my mom just stops talking and she'd be like, what does that mean? Because it's not something that anyone else
does. No reference to
people,
it.
People do like, that's cute. And then they get on to the next subject. But I don't think my mom, she doesn't answer. She just stops.
Right.
And then you stop. Eventually you'll stop talking about whatever you're talking about pretty quick.
Maybe her.
I'm saying you tell me about how excited about this new Greek
I'm
restaurant.
I'm so excited
you
about the new Greek restaurant. It's so great. I mean, it has dolmades, such great things, wine. They throw plates. They dance with music. Are you there, Mom?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe my voice makes you go into mini grand mal seizures.
You'll just stop talking. It's just a plan. Yeah. All right, back to.
Back to these disgusting gold fixtures that are the root of all evil.
So we're looking at just some bad Home Depot cheapo item, you know, single whatevers. And so the thing about Mike was in his basement with his daughter. Now, the thing about can lighting is, you know, you got to drill a bunch of holes and you got to mount a bunch of cans and... You know, there's two lights now in this room, and those are your power sources. You're going to have to kind of spread those around and all that. And, you know, there's that. Now, he said track lighting.
Yeah, I don't know why he said track lighting.
I think he meant, like, cheap lighting, like track home lighting.
So let me go back to your can lighting. The room is too big to have just two cans because it'll literally look like – because they only spot you in, like, an eight spherical foot radius, right?
Right.
You'd have to have six in that room to really light the room up. equivalent to the disgusting gold fixtures that you have now.
Right.
You're getting ample light that way. Uh-huh. So I don't think cans are the answer.
Well, let me say this. If you would like can lighting, which you may have, he's in his basement, so it has no crawl space.
Correct.
You know, he can't hop up.
You could do remodel cans that are shallow that you just plug up in there.
Yeah, but you still got to string them.
Yes.
I mean, you got to run the
wire. Daisy chain them, yeah.
Yeah, you got to daisy chain them. So cans are a little bit tough for him in a do-it-yourself kind of situation because there is no space above you. Normally, if you're doing cans in your living room and you can climb up into the attic and you have ample space to move around and pull wires.
As a DIY project, yes, you're right.
All right, so this is a little bit more difficult.
Right.
And he brought up track lighting, and I would say there's a lot of really cool, modern, effective LED and whatever track lighting. Now, he's saying track like track home, I think he means. He means
oh,
cheap.
Oh, maybe that's what he means.
I think he just means cheap track home. Like when you pass a store and there's a place called, when I was a kid, it was called Juvenile Shop. And I was like, Juvenile Shop? And it was like, for juvie? Like kids are paroled?
They're made to work and sell like, retail.
And they're like, no, it just means kid.
Right.
So, but you associate juvenile with delinquent.
That's correct. I do, at least.
And I think he just does track with cheapness.
Okay. Right.
So, I would say if you're just going to have two spots that are heated up and you don't want to move the pull wires and conduit and blah, 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 and drill holes and you have no crawl space and everything, I would say two modern, very cool track light units where the two existing units are. How say you, sir?
Correct. I say if you want to spot art and pictures on the wall and give the room dimension, lighting can do a myriad of good in terms of the feel and the vibe of the room with dimmers as well. I would do track lights. I would shine spots on the wall where all the pictures are,
mm-hmm.
and it'll give you this instant feeling like, oh, my God, this is kind of a cool vibe in this room. Do that. Easy. Cheap. Do it yourself. Great.
Thank you, Mike. Video questionnaire. All right. And finally, Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. Put up the track lighting or mislabel your current lighting and call it track lighting. How about you add this to your to-do list? Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance and you don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. So why not put that extra money in your pocket or buy some nice and real track lighting? Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Thunder Valley. Did we get a count yet, Gary?
I did not get a response. Follow up right now.
Follow up. Always follow up with Mike. Always follow up. But he may have to find out himself. Thunder Valley Casino in Sacramento. It's March 2nd. No Safe Spaces Tour. That's February. We should put those in chronological order for the foreseeable future. You don't have to do it now. Tuesday, February 27th, Phoenix Grand Canyon University. Me and Dennis Prager. Always a good show with that guy. Base Cable Commentary coming up Thursday, March 15th. Oxnard, Levity Live. And as the podcasting masterclass and blah, 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 blah. Go to amcorolla.com. Go to Corolla Drinks. Say all that. Stromer. Where do we find
you? EricStromer.com. Go there. Facebook. You know, all the Twitters. Everything. I'm there.
So, till next time. I'm Corolla for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.